Read together from Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is their respective persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The passage we consider this evening is verse 12 of the chapter. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved Church of God, throughout history, meaning especially the history of the Church in the New Testament, There has been sometimes more and sometimes less of an awareness of the world of angels and demons. Sometimes the church has been more aware of this reality, and sometimes the church has been less aware of it. In Jesus' day, we learn from the Scriptures that the Sadducees denied the existence of angels and demons. Whereas, on the other hand, the normal children of God at the time of Jesus and the apostles were very aware of their existence. During the Middle Ages, I believe it can safely be said there was too much emphasis, especially too much emphasis upon the demonic, the world of demons, too much superstition, too much fear of the demonic world, and that often encouraged by the Roman Catholic Church. Modern world, and we mean the world after the Enlightenment, the so-called Enlightenment, the pendulum swung way too far the other way in the world at large, and the church foolishly, in many cases, followed the world, so that there was too little thought on the devil and on demons. In fact, often even a denial of the existence of these spiritual forces. In today's world, we see a resurgence of the occult, a resurgence in the world at large of an interest in things superstitious, magical, and at root, demonic. There's a fascination in our culture today with death and horror and spiritual forces, seen even in the growth of the emphasis on Halloween, observed this week, and that with all of its costumes and all of its trick-or-treating and all of its other accoutrements, an emphasis on that which is not of God, but of the devil. The church today, again, is not always founded upon the Word of God. The church today needs to hear the Word of the Scripture and to understand what God's Word has to say about these spiritual enemies. Scripture tells us the truth, and Scripture tells us Christ defends, preserves, He gathers His church. He gathers her out of all nations today and in this present age, and He preserves her and He defends her over against her enemies. He gathers, defends, and preserves a church that is militant, a church that fights, a church that wrestles, and a church that knows we wrestle primarily not against flesh and blood, but against demonic forces, against rulers of darkness. Let's consider this text this evening to remind ourselves of this very fact, and we'll do so under the theme, wrestling against rulers of darkness. First of all, the spiritual reality. Secondly, an antithetical privilege. It's a privilege to be those who wrestle against rulers of darkness. And thirdly, a sobering ground. The text provides a sobering ground. No matter what era of history the child of God lives in, he walks by faith and not by sight. That is, He views the world and all things according to the Word of God, according to what God reveals about the world and about all the things in the world. That on the positive side, he walks by faith, but then he walks not by sight. That is, he doesn't walk about, live his life in this world according to how things appear to him externally. If we walked by sight, if the child of God walked by sight, he would conclude there are no demons. There is no devil, for they are invisible, and we cannot see them. And so he would walk in this world without wrestling, without a militant battle over against these evil forces. But if we walk by faith, as we do, we walk by faith according to the Word, a Word which reveals a demonic world, the Word of this text, which reveals to us this demonic world, and we walk by faith, wrestling over against them. For that is, beloved, that is the general meaning of the text. We wrestle with demons. That's the point of the verse. When we read in the text of principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places, we recognize that those descriptions are not describing human beings, but spiritual beings. They're describing demons. And that's proven in many ways by the text, but one simple and very direct way that the text makes that plain is it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If principalities and powers and these other descriptions were descriptions of human beings, then the text would not say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but would say we do wrestle against flesh and blood. That is, flesh and blood who are principalities and powers and the rest. The text says, not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, but against a demonic world. The text and all of the Scripture tells us that demons are real. They're created beings. They're not eternal. God alone is eternal. They were created at some point in time. Created as rational beings. They think. They have a certain corrupted wisdom. They have an understanding. They have a knowledge and a memory. They are also moral creatures. They know right from wrong. Of course, they're fallen moral creatures, fallen angels. Created good, not created as demons. Created all right, but not created as demons. Created as angels, created good, but then fallen from that goodness through their own act of rebellion, so that now these creatures are evil. Demons, the Scripture and the text teach us, are in this world. They're not in hell. Sometimes the world presents it that way, that the devil is walking about in hell with a pitchfork and horns on his head. He's walking around in hell and he inhabits that place. And the demons sometimes are considered to be there as well, so that we're safe here in this world, separated from the demons and from the devil, because they are not here. Scripture and the text says they are here. They're not far away somewhere, but they're here in this world. As we live our life in this world, we are surrounded by a world of invisible, evil creatures. demons, these demons, are against us. And we're over against them. We wrestle them, the text says. The text describes them with these four different phrases: principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We'll begin with that last one and work our way up the list, coming to understand what these descriptions reveal about the demonic world and these demonic creatures. First of all, spiritual wickedness in high places, it can literally be translated the spiritual ones of the evil or the wickedness in heavenly places. Not to mean they are in heaven, but simply bringing out that they are spiritual beings. These are spiritual beings. Invisible, spiritual, otherworldly. And then that they are the spiritual ones of evil and of wickedness brings out again that they are wicked, they are contrary to God, entirely and totally given over to wickedness and opposition to all that is good, including God, His Christ, and His church. These spiritual ones who are wicked, we wrestle. They're also called in the text rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Literally, rulers of darkness. Rulers of darkness. When Scripture speaks of darkness, and in this case, it does, and it means, first of all, ignorance of that which is good. A willful refusal to acknowledge and to abide by that which is good. A moral corruption. Great evilness, devoid of any light. There's no trace of light. There's no glimmerings of light within these fallen, corrupt, and wicked creatures. In 1 John 1 verse 5, we read of exactly the opposite with regard to our God. There we're told God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. These creatures are darkness. But the word rulers, or the phrase rulers of the darkness of this world, really literally means that they are world rulers. In the original, the word world rulers is one word. World rulers of darkness. They are rulers of this world, literally cosmos, the universe, the rulers within the universe, of course, under sovereign control of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, who, without His will, they cannot so much as move, totally under the control of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the world is given over unto their rule from the point of view of the darkness of this world. They rule over the world as it's under sin and under the system and power of sin, so that they rule the world and lead the world in the development of sin and wickedness. These rulers of the world of darkness, we wrestle. And they are called also powers, literally authorities. Authorities. Demons have a ranking of authority. And the text says the demons that we wrestle as God's people, the demons that we wrestle are those referred to as authorities, those who have some rank, some authority, some position of leadership. within the population of demons. In fact, the very first word in the list, the word principalities to describe these demonic creatures, means the first ones, the ones of primary rank among all the demons. We wrestle these. We wrestle the best, the greatest, the highest ranking demons in the demonic world. And then too, the word principalities is listed first to point to the full seriousness of the situation. The Word of God does not say to us, well, we wrestle some of the lesser, some of the weaker, some of the less influential and easier to overcome sort of demons. We wrestle those of a rather low rank and status and standing within the demonic world. But the text says you wrestle principalities, those of primacy, those among the best. To wrestle means to be in a conflict, to be in a struggle, to be in a fight over against these demonic creatures. That means very generally, most broadly, that we stand in opposition to them. We do not join them. We're not one with them. We're not friendly to them, but we stand opposed to them and they stand opposed to us. And that's brought out even by the meaning of the word Satan, which means adversary, enemy, one who stands over against us. And that brings out that truth once again of the antithesis. God has so set things in place that He has drawn us unto Himself and called us to be His, made us to be His. We belong to the party of God, the living God, over against all the forces of darkness and the forces of death who stand over against us and opposed to us. The passage says those are the ones we fight against, especially those demonic forces. Those are the ones that we stand against. Those are the ones that the antithesis is about in the first place. And we see that too as we look through all of the Scripture. We look through the Scripture with that in mind and we see, for example, the people of Israel in Egypt. We read of Pharaoh telling them to cast their young boys into the river, their little babies. We recognize, of course, there is a flesh and blood element to that. Pharaoh is the one making the rule and the command, and Pharaoh's armies are the ones enforcing it among the Israelites. But we recognize as we see that history in light of this passage and other passages, we recognize the devil is behind it. The devil is there seeking to destroy the seed of the woman, seeking to bring about the impossibility of his birth, seeking to destroy the line of God's covenant. Over against the devil and his hosts, we stand. And the passage says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. The passage, when it says that, does not mean that there is no sense in which flesh and blood opposes the Church of Jesus Christ. We saw that, first of all, just a moment ago when we looked at that picture, that Old Testament reality of Pharaoh. We'll see that again, and we see it in the Scripture in the rise of the Antichrist, who will set himself up as if he were God and stand over against the Church and seek to oppose and destroy the Church. But the passage means not in the first place and not primarily, not most fundamentally and essentially is the battle against flesh and blood, but is fundamentally, principally, and essentially a battle against demonic forces and principalities and powers and all the rest. That's too in harmony with other passages that speak similarly, even just in this very same chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, we read this, "With goodwill, servants ought to, with goodwill, do service as to the Lord and not to men." Obviously, the passage doesn't mean to say we ought not submit to men, we ought not serve men whom God places over us, we ought not serve employers, simply serve Christ. But the passage means serve men, very well, but serve Christ in serving those men. That's the fundamental thing. That's the primary thing. That's the essential thing in all of your labor and all of your daily calling. The same thing is brought out in Colossians 3, verse 23. "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." That on the one side of serving Christ. Now on the other side is standing over against spiritual enemies. The passage speaks the same way. Not men, first of all. That's not the primary enemy. Not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. That ultimately is what we wrestle. Not primarily then the seed of the serpent, though that too, but primarily the serpent himself and those like unto him. Wrestle with them in various different ways. Wrestle with them, especially in the life of our soul, of our heart, and of our mind. They set their temptations over against us and they seek to lure us to go out and join with the seed of the serpent and live like the ungodly and rebel against God. Then we wrestle them. We wrestle them, the Word of God says, by resisting them. Resist the devil, Scripture says, and he will flee from you. Resist him and the demons. Say no to them when they set their temptations in front of you. Beware that we wrestle them and say no to all that they tempt us with. We wrestle against them also when we refuse to join their seed. We refuse to join the seed of the serpent and live like them and act like them and walk like them in our life in the world. When we maintain a spiritual separation over against the ungodly, because those ungodly are governed by these rulers of darkness, world rulers of darkness. The Word of God spoke that way already to the Old Testament saints. When he drove out the Canaanites out of the land and he gave the land to his own beloved people, he gave them warnings about joining in the godless and really demonic practices of the people who had been driven out. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 and following. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. We're aware of the fact that we wrestle over against principalities and powers when we recognize the power of those principalities and powers in the wicked nations around us, and we say, I will not partake of those things. I'll not be part of that. Live antithetically over against that. We take good heed. These things are not outdated. These things are not simply a list of things that tempted the Old Testament people of God and that have no bearing upon us today, especially today, the way our culture is going and the way that the devil is leading the wicked around us. We do well to take good heed to these same things that we must avoid, using divination, being an observer of times, astrology, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, necromancer. All these things, God says, are an abomination unto Him. And it'll have no place in the life of the child of God. For we wrestle against principalities and powers, against those who would have us engaged in these wicked and evil abominations. Take note too, beloved, that that whole list begins this way. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. I trust everyone who hears that recoils at the very thought. To take a child, an infant or a young child, and to offer that child over unto the god Molech to be burned alive at the altar, a covenant child. What wickedness, what awful, awful business. That same reaction that we have with regard to that sin, we ought also have with regard to all the other sins listed here. All the other enchantments and wizardry and witch nonsense and all the rest of that wickedness we ought to recoil against and walk widely around and exclude it from our lives as much as we would any offering up of our children unto the gods of paganism. We wrestle against these principalities and powers also by believing the Word, in particular believing the Word over against the slander and the accusations of the devil. That is, after all, the meaning of that word, that other name of his, the word devil, accuser, slanderer, one who comes to us and tells us and says to us, you're no good, you're not forgiven, you're not God's, how can you be? Look at all how you live, look at all what you've done, and all sorts of other slanders and lies and accusations. Over against all of that, we wrestle by believing the Word of God, believing the Word which tells us we are God's in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven of our sins. We do belong to Him, and forever we shall. We wrestle over against these wicked demonic forces also by being very perceptive. The verse immediately preceding our text tells us that there is a way, we'll come to that in a moment, there is a way that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's especially that word wiles that I draw your attention to now, meaning the craftiness, the tricks of the devil. We need to be perceptive then, aware of the fact that he tries to play tricks on us and on those around us, and use craftiness to trick us into joining with him, joining with the ungodly and all the abominations of the world that they're involved with. One of these tricks that he uses today, he uses many, of course, but one of these tricks that he uses today, especially pertinent now this week as the world celebrates Halloween, one of the tricks, the wiles of the devil, is to make devilishness look cute and fun and harmless, and say, come along with us, put on these interesting costumes, and walk about like us, dress up like some ghoul or some witch or some other strange character. All of it demonic and devilish. Yet at the same time, one of the wiles of the devil to attempt to make it look harmless, innocent, and fun. And that especially for children. How crafty he is. We wrestle against the devil by being watchful, perceptive, circumspect, with our eyes in our heads, so to speak, aware of his craftiness and answering him always with the word. But beloved, we wrestle, the text says, we wrestle over against these principalities and over these powers. There's a wonder just in that word. We've heard already, these are the primary ones. These are the very best under Satan. These are great authorities and powers. They ought to be able to easily overrun us, easily trick us and destroy us. And yet the text says, we wrestle. As small as we are, as insignificant as we are, myself, all of us, in the scene of the world at large, as insignificant as we are, we wrestle against world rulers of tremendous greatness, great principalities and authorities. The only other option, the only other possibility other than wrestling, or to put it another way, there's only two kinds of people in the world ultimately, those who wrestle against these principalities and powers, and those who are controlled by them. And as we look at it from that point of view too, we see what a privilege, what an amazing wonder it is. God gives us the privilege to wrestle over against these creatures. The only other option, we said, is to be controlled by them. That's the world. That's the godless of the world. They are the children of the devil. The Scripture speaks of them that way in many different ways. The seed of the serpent. John refers to them often as the children of the devil, even saying that he is their father, meaning their spiritual father. What a father. Father who seeks to destroy his own children, controls them for his own selfish and corrupt and wicked purposes, and leads them from misery to misery until at last leaves them in hell. The Scripture, in various other ways, describes those who are under the power of the devil and who do not wrestle him. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, referring to Satan and his demons, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Blinded their minds. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Horrifying existence. Ephesians 2, verse 2 as well, describing how we were by nature, but describing also how the ungodly and the reprobate are yet today, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. To walk in accord with the prince of the power of the air. To walk in harmony with the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way it is apart from Jesus Christ. That's the way it is outside of the church. That's the horrifying reality. That's the living death. That's theirs. To the point even that they in perverseness are led by the wiles of the devil to celebrate that death and that power and control of the evil ones over them this coming week. What a horrifying life. That horrifying life of misery and perversion, our God in Jesus Christ has rescued us from. We've been delivered from that by the gracious privilege of God, not because of anything we deserve, not because of anything we've done or anything we've made ourselves to be, not based on any position that we have in this world or anything else other than the grace of God. It seemed pleasing and fitting unto Him to rescue us out of that power of the devil, and at great expense to Himself. He's done that by the blood of His own Son, by the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for us as our Savior, to pay the price for our sin, to satisfy the justice and the wrath of God, so that we have the right to be delivered out from under the power of the devil, and then too, by the power of our risen Lord, He has come to us and He has broken us out of the shackles and the chains and the bondage of the devil, as we confess even in Lord's Day 1 already, and throughout the Scripture and throughout the creeds. Delivered we are by our risen Lord from all the power of the devil and all the power of those principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world that belong under Him. We've been set free. Set free from His dominance, set free from His power, and set free to wrestle. To be engaged in that great struggle that has occupied the church throughout all of her history. What a tremendous privilege. But then more, been set free to wrestle over against these principalities and powers that, and also while wrestling to know we have the victory. And to know that those principalities and powers against whom we wrestle are controlled by the very one who gave Himself for us. The one who loved us that much. Today controls them for our good. And defends us over against them. As we sang in the many Psalter numbers, several Psalter numbers we sang already in this service, but especially as we sang, "Thy spear confront the enemy." The spear of our Lord Jesus Christ confronts our enemy and keeps us safe and defends us while we wrestle and reassures us with His precious promise, "I am thy Savior, do not fear. I am with you. I am your strength. And I have already, in principle, defeated all those who make war with thee." It is inevitable. The victory is yours. Wrestle on now with that confidence and with that certainty. Set us free to wrestle. He set us free not to join with them, not to say the victory is ours. Let us relax now and join with these principalities and powers and those who are under their dominion. Not to mimic them, not to play with them, not to trick or treat with them, to engage in Halloween parties with them, to enjoy haunted houses with them, or horror movies with them. But to separate from all of that and to wrestle with them as thankful, loving people of God, thankful for what God has delivered us out of, loving God and His light, hating all that is of darkness and of these principalities and powers, wrestling soberly. We've been delivered to live soberly, aware of the spiritual battle and of these spiritual forces. The text really is a reason. The text is itself a ground for something else, a ground for the command of God that we find both preceding and following our text. The text indicates that it's a ground, a reason, when it uses the word "for" at the very beginning. "For," that is, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, forms a ground for this command. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then after our text, immediately after our text, we read, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Put on the armor, says the Word of God. You wrestle against principalities and powers. Don't go out without any armor. Don't go out into that wrestling match, into that battle, without any weaponry. Put on the whole armor of God. Armor that is designed for this very kind of battle. Not bombs and tanks and guns, which would be of no avail, no use in this kind of a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual enemies, world rulers of darkness. For that kind of battle, we need the armor of the Word of God. Armor that is effective against these spiritual forces. And it is the armor of God. Not the armor of our own devising. Not the armor of our own imaginations. Not the armor that anyone else might present to us or speak highly of, but it's the armor of God, the inspired, mighty Word of God. Read that Word. That's how we put on the armor. Listen to that Word of God. Meditate upon that Word of God. Memorize that Word of God. Lay it in your heart. Think about it daily, indeed, constantly. Dwell upon and in the Word of God. And that Word of course, centrally is the revelation of God regarding His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word, primarily and fundamentally, is Christ. The text then says, as you put on the armor, put on the Word of God, you put on Christ. And putting on Christ, you put on power. The very power of Almighty God. That comes out also in the context. Finally, my brethren, verse 10 says, our text again, being verse 12, verse 11, telling us to put on the whole armor of God, backing up now to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How can we be strong with the power and the might of God? The power and the might of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Context says, putting on the armor of the Word of God and going out unto the wrestling, unto the battle, armed with that power. That's how we can stand and we can wrestle and we can prevail over against principalities and powers. We stand, we wrestle, we stand, we prevail by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, beloved, He has also decreed and established to the glory of His own name. That's what all of this is about. We wrestle against these great principalities. What a remarkable display of the glory of Christ. This little church, these weak, sinful creatures wrestling against principalities and powers, rulers of the world, and standing and prevailing by the power of their Lord and Savior. To Him, beloved, be all the glory. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for speaking to us of realities that are in themselves unpleasant to consider. But as we look at them in the light of Thy whole Word, we are amazed. What a wonder, what a glory of our Lord Jesus we see in this passage too, as we wrestle by the power of Jesus Christ, by the preserving grace of our Lord and Savior, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We wrestle, we prevail, and we stand by the power of our Savior, found in the Word of Thee, our God. Fill us then, Father, with that Word, both in this service as well as in every day, as we turn again and again to the Word. Fill us with the power of our Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy Word, that we may wrestle, that we may stand, and we may do so with clear perception, antithetically, and to the glory of Thy name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.